We have a basketball program that we all expect to compete in the Big Ten and national championships year in and year out.
There's no other way to look at it. It's one of the better jobs in the Big Ten.
Final four!
I didn't think you got me this good, but it feels good!
Welcome on in, everybody, to the boardroom. Maddie here alongside Josh and Johnny. And ladies and gentlemen, Sky LL. I know everyone right now through their headphones are saying Sky and I alongside of us here. As Illinois picks up arguably the biggest recruitment, biggest commitment, I should say, of the 247 era. Here this afternoon with Sky Clark reaffirming his commitment to the University of Illinois. We'll talk a little bit of a little off-season basketball stuff, but we have to start at the top of our agenda with Mr. Sky Clark committing to the University of Illinois. It was back and forth. He kept this one pretty close to his chest, but ultimately he picked U of I, and I mean, what a way to start the off-season.
Sky's the limit, baby. It was definitely exciting to see us grab a really highly rated kid. And I know there might be some questions of, is he truly a five-star given he had the ACL injury? And I don't know, it depends on what site you're looking at, but regardless, he was a really sought after guy. I mean, you look at the other schools, Tennessee top three seed, USC top seed. All these schools are still Louisville fighting after him. So it's encouraging to see that of all the schools he picked Illinois. I mean, he said he chose Illinois because we're a proven winner. Like, when has anyone said that about Illinois? That feels so good. So
is he talking about our basketball program, or is he talking about golf?
Yeah, exactly. Mike Small. Got to respect the amount of Big Ten championships that dude has won. But it's encouraging to see that, like, top talent is still attracted to Illinois. This was definitely a weirder recruitment because he decommitted from Kentucky kind of late in the process, and you don't 100% know what you're getting out of him, but love to see us reload. And I love when you have two guards in the same class, like him and Epps are going to be, where it's just going to be fun to see those guys develop. And he definitely gives our team a really high ceiling if he can perform the way that he did before the injury, and long-term, if he can stay, say, a second year and really be a guy who could be an All-Big Ten performer.
Yeah, and it kind of seems like it's tough to talk about because we're talking about, you just said all that after Curbelo is gone after the second year, and we had such high expectations for Curbelo's second season after he had an amazing first season. But it, like you said, the sky is the limit with Sky on the roster. And obviously the biggest offseason news will be for our team will be if Kofi returns or not, but this is the next best thing. There could be a few more transfers in and out of the program, but Sky joining the roster puts us at a new level. He was a five-star before his injury that happened in the spring of his junior year. And then, so that means he wasn't on any of the circuits with an AAU club over the summer of his, like the summer in between junior and senior, where you usually see like either recruitments take off or like don't take off. But he was committed to Kentucky at the time, so you never know if he would have gotten those offers. Came back in January, so he recovered from an ACL. I think it was within 8 months. And since he returned to Monteverdi, I never know how to pronounce that school's name, but he's been performing. I don't know if like his stats are that crazy because he's been kind of on and off with a different injury, but it's pretty exciting if he's able to return to his full steam. I think one of the reasons why he said he chose Illinois was because Fletch is going to be helping get his strength back. And when you are quoting your future strength and conditioning coach, that means you're excited to get into the weight room once he gets onto campus in the summer.
I know that the four of us have sort of had this inside joke of saying, oh, just give him one summer with Fletch. You know, we like to joke around, oh, once he gets in the weight room, you know, the assumption is that all of these high D1 programs have
basically a very similar level of strength and conditioning. But
yeah,
I feel like Fletcher is a guy that, like, maybe there genuinely is a differentiation between his program and other D1 programs or other programs in the country. I mean, you see these before and after pictures. John and I have talked about it with Trent's 447 mile, which is just should not be able to be run. That's just an absurd time. That he is a very marketable individual in your program, and the results that he shows are pretty impressive. But I'm still gonna say it. Like, give me one summer with Fletch.
I mean, I saw people on Twitter saying, like, back up the Brinks truck for Fletch, like, extend. Oh, like, you gotta, like, honestly, yeah, there are so many examples of guys who really just look different from when they entered the program, from when they left. And so many recruits, you talk about Dane Danger right now being in there, like, with Fletch all the time. It really seems like he transforms bodies and is a real selling point to potential recruits. I know Colin Boswell and his family really interested in Fletch. So it seems like he is a reputation that it does separate himself from other good programs. But when talking about extending guys, you also got to give a lot of credit to Tim Anderson. I mean, this dude has been great on the recruiting trail. He was huge for Ty Rogers coming to Illinois, and now getting another guy who Sky Clark committed to Tim Anderson when he was, what, a freshman in high school?
Eighth grade.
When he was at DePaul. Like,
yeah.
That's really impressive. Clearly, this guy understands how to really, like, form relationships with high school kids at a young age. And as great as Chin and Antigua were, it's great to see that not really drop off, and you feel confident that Anderson can kind of develop these relationships and really hope in the next few years, now that you have a proven winner, you have relationships with guys, and you just have players who you can sell. When you're talking to a prospective point guard and you're saying, yeah, we had the Bob Cousy Award winner for best point guard in the country last year, come play for our program. That's an appealing sell. So
I mean,
it seems like we've got a recruiting juggernaut here. We just need to kind of keep getting these wins and keep stacking them.
Yeah, I know what you said with Chin and Antigua there. Yeah, like, they're good assistants, but you got to get out of the first round of the tournament until we can start to take them seriously. Obviously, me as an Illinois fan, who I've seen just unbelievable success in the tournament in the last 365 days of my life. But yeah, I think in addition to Fletch, it's picture season. It's hashtag picture season, in which you're hunting for every head in those off season workouts. You're like, all right, who's here? Okay, I see Coleman. Okay, RJ, that's good. He's clapping. Like, Luke is here. Okay, who's not here? Ooh, all right, obviously there's no Kofi. It's like, these pictures are so intentional, I feel like, that the team releases. And, like, every little head is a little hint at, oh, are they coming back? Oh, okay, I don't see that. Oh, okay, Brandon Lieb is there. That's good. It looks like he's there this offseason. So it's fun to kind of peek into those photos and see the little Easter eggs.
Maddie, you don't even get into the weeds of it, because, like, RJ the day before was, like, put, like, his location for his Insta story was Portal. And so the next day, Illinois basketball made sure that they showed the picture. Did you know that?
Why would he do that?
Right. Like, it could have been just something.
I think he was at a store called Portal or something.
Yeah,
no,
something like
that's absurd.
Like a shoe store.
Right. Oh, like, you don't even get into the weeds. But, like,
there's a Portal shoe store. Do they have, like, a one-time transfer if they don't fit?
Nice.
Good one. But yeah, so that was that one. But yeah, it is definitely that season. It's also just season of we're one of the people that do it, but put a picture on Twitter saying these are my starting five for next year, and, like, say that we're Final Four bound. That's the season that we're in.
Yeah, I mean, that we're in a really interesting crossroads, though, of there's so many question marks about our roster that you're just trying to project so many different starting lineups. Like, one with Kofi, one without Kofi. And I think we all agree Sky Clark is a great addition, but he's not an upperclassman guard, and you're still looking to add more, whether it's Brandon Murray or you're looking to get Terrence Shannon or even a former Illinois basketball player who transferred to LSU. And
or he'd be sitting a year, though, so he's not started. Well, I guess
he could get a waiver.
He might get a waiver, because he tore his ACL and the Will Wade thing.
The other one that you didn't mention, who is my first 1A list, like there's other guards, like Terrence Shannon would be 1B, and then Brandon Murray 1C. They're all ones, like I want them. Courtney Ramey's my number one. I feel like you need a point guard, and Shannon and Murray are your shooting guards. And if we want to go into roster construction, like I feel sort of good about our wings coming back. It's just that we don't have a last year it was Trent and Curbelo carrying the ball up the floor, and when it wasn't Trent and when Curbelo was down, we were in loads of garbage. Like we had Monte doing it like serviceably, you had Hutch doing it at the beginning of the season, but don't want to get me started on Hutch.
I totally agree we don't have a true point guard, and it's really tough to expect a freshman to be that point guard, whether it's Epps or it's Sky Clark. So Ramey would be really appealing in that way. My question to you is, do you want Courtney Ramey because you've known his name the longest? So you're most comfortable with knowing him.
No, totally fair. It is all name game. But if you look at the guards that, I mean, you get these tweets from like Rothstein, from John Goodman, from Andrew Slater, just listing all the different teams that have been involved in the transfer recruitment of any individual. And Courtney Ramey is the one that it seems like we have significant interest in. And obviously Terrence Shannon and Brandon Murray, we also do as well. But for Courtney, he's a third team all Big 12 player. He's someone who's proven that he's played good defense. He scores the ball at the high level. And I mean, we have shot our shot. Every player is different when they come in the portal, but when we had Mark Allstore we were told going to get 20 points with the Underwood special, like that doesn't happen all the time when you have a mid-major talent come up from like the mid-majors. And so that's why I trust an all Big 12 third team player.
Yeah, I totally agree with you. I just had to give you shit there.
No, go for it.
We've been following Courtney Ramey. Him and Io were supposed to be in that same recruiting class. So That's how long we've been following him. And it would be an interesting day for the message board posters who have all said that we chose Andres Felice over Courtney Ramey, which I just don't know if that one was true. It ended up working out amazing because
we get both now.
Incredible and one of my favorite Illini of all time. But I don't think they were passing up on a top 40 guard. But interested to see how this goes. One thing that I kind of referenced a little bit though with Sky Clark is him and Apps both coming up together. I feel like this is kind of our second chance at the Miller and Curbelo both coming up at the same time. Io didn't really have a running mate like that. You could say maybe, well, it was Trent who's a year older, but that was a little different. We also saw that with Trent and Mark Smith. We were like, this is the backcourt of the future. And then
third time's the charm, Brad.
Yeah, exactly. Because obviously Dee and Darren came up in the same class, and we're not going to go out and compare Sky and Epps to those guys. But I always like that like swagger of two guys coming in at the same time and really elevating their game. And as freshmen, they're a little bit up and down, but by the time they're upperclassmen, or maybe in this case, just sophomores, they really start to kind of run the Big Ten.
I'm curious, bringing us back a little bit to the Sky Clark chat. And I know that recency bias is certainly a thing, but when was the last time that Illinois won a recruitment like this, where it felt like it could go either way? It felt like there was momentum that was tailing towards Illinois, but also, all right, momentum kind of tailing away with Tennessee, and the guy actually picks Illinois, right? It felt like, you know, Io's not a good example because it felt pretty strongly he's committing in the Nike store in Chicago. He's a Chicago boy. We kind of knew he was going to Illinois. Like, when was the last time a guy like this actually picked the orange and blue?
Maybe Adam Miller. I don't know. Like,
you had the Michigan rumors. Yeah.
His recruitment was a little weird, but it's a good question because I don't know. This one's just an unusual one with him kind of closing or decommitting and then opening it up late. I know the Brandon Pajimski one was a little interesting. He was he fielded some pretty good offers and also committed in the April time range, but I don't know if there's a great comp for this one.
I think that's what makes this one pretty fun for me, at least, is that I kind of lost. I stopped following this as closely when I saw, oh, it looks like Tennessee's is now picking up some crystal balls and classic woe is me Illinois fan. It was kind of fun to be surprised. And now on the day of the commitment, see, ooh, Illinois is kind of popping back up. And for it not to be a sure thing in either direction like that, I'm sure I think a lot of fans who have seen a lot of our spurned commitments going back to Eric Gordon, you know, a la Jeremiah Tillman, like all these just back and forths. I think that was pretty fun for us to see that today. Yes, it could have gone either way, and it went our way today.
Oh yeah, yeah. You bring up Jeremiah Tillman, that brings back some PTSD. we also cleared the ESPNU curse, which is Cliff Alexander committed to Kansas on ESPNU, and now we have a new guy commit to Illinois on ESPNU.
So oh, you're forgetting Shimon
people
Cooper.
Have been worried the last 10 years. Anytime a guy commits on ESPNU, we'll probably
you're forgetting that, about but... Shimon Cooper.
Oh, that's right. That's football, though. But
yeah,
point.
You're right.
Great point.
You know, that ESPNU commitment gave us one of the best gifts of all time of Cliff Alexander. I know the Field Pass boys know exactly what gift that we're talking about with the G League hat there. That certainly provided one of the best memes, one of the best gifts of all time. But yeah, it is hard to go back and give this one a true comp, which I think is really what makes it exciting.
It was an interesting recruitment, though, given that he announced that he was going to take visits and then didn't take one. He had an at-home – only person that visited him at home was Brad Underwood. So it's just – it's weird where, like, it did seem like it could have been gone either way, but the fact that he didn't take his recruitment, didn't take his visits, and then we just get out of the blue that, hey, Sky's announcing – I think later today it was the
sky
notification.
Out of the blue, are you saying, Josh? Sky yeah. out of the blue?
Sky blue out sky. Of the blue sky. Blue yeah, sand. Out of the blue that it was going to come today on ESPN. Like we didn't really know that was going to happen until today. And so no visits. Brad's the only one that saw him at home. It kind of felt like while it did teeter a little bit, it was always going to be Illinois.
Oh, I'd be interested to hear, is he going to take the visits as a verbal commitment and then sign whenever the signing period opens?
Oh my gosh. Now we're in
don't
the
put that evil on. Don't put now that evil. The, don't put that evil on me.
I mean, like you can't necessarily like
we have till Wednesday.
Tell a kid not to take official visits. Like
lock him up until
thing.
Wednesday. Lock him yeah. up until Wednesday. He signs his letter of commitment on Wednesday.
Yeah, I mean, that also reminds me of the Adam Miller one where he like commits but doesn't sign. And there were the rumors that he had signed and sealed and never happened. And then we had to wait until April. But
don't you guys love this? Don't you guys love this part?
This is why you got out of that recruitment game.
This is why I retired early from the game.
Josh,
you mentioned
our favorite recruitment is the next one. And yeah, I think now we got to just dive deep in the portal. It could be Bryce Hopkins, who was a former target. We got some of the other guys. Like it's great. We have three reoccurring names between Ramey, Shannon Jr. and Hopkins. Like
that goes.
This is why we put in those hours when they were high school kids.
This
to
is
get to know them.
Freaks.
And so now we're ready.
Freaks.
This is also goes to our another not inside joke, but we always write once they commit somewhere else, see you in the portal, Champaign Urbana in the portal. No,
Josh is grinning. Josh is grinning ear to ear. Well, Johnny, you mentioned locked up, right, in terms of, you know, locking up Sky Clark until he signs the papers and sends him over. Another person who has relocked himself to the orange and blue is our head man, Brad Underwood, who did sign an extension. Was it 27-28. This extension is certainly not to be confused with the infamous Lovey extension where he got those extra 2 years the year before he got fired. This is a, hey, you just won the Big Ten. We don't want you to go to Kansas State extension, right? Is that how you guys would qualify that? Hey, just in case, don't go to Kansas State. You're here for 2027.
Or it'll cost Kansas State another $500,000 a year if they want to if they want to take him before his buyout comes up.
Yeah, I mean, I got to shout out the incredibly brave, incredibly bold Kansas State Twitter fan who commented that they were happy that Illinois extended Brad and that Kansas State didn't get him because it causes us to bankrupt our athletic program, right? So that is the level of just shallowness that you're reducing yourself to. Well, thank goodness we didn't get our dream coach because it is going to bankrupt another team's athletic department in another conference that we could care less about. So whatever moral reasoning you had to do to get yourself there, I thoroughly chuckled at that take all morning. So yes, the Illinois athletics program is bankrupt. There's no more popcorn being sold at the at Memorial Stadium this fall because we can't afford it because we signed Underwood to an extension.
I had a conversation with someone, just a random person, about how they were not excited that Underwood got an extension. They felt like it was not something that was worthy. And the reasoning was just because he loses in the tournament. And the easiest response that I think me, Johnny, Maddie, Sam have is, how many times do we make it to the tournament in our 5 years? Never.
Zero.
Wait. His complaint was he loses in the tournament. Is there a coach that hasn't lost in the tournament this year except for one?
He's just not meant for big time. He's just not meant for the – he's not – he won't – yeah.
I think Johnny and I had this debate right after we saw each other for the first time when Johnny got back from Pittsburgh. It's that, like, is it or is it not a fair knock on Brad Underwood that he has struggled in the postseason, that it's a different skill set of coaching, possibly different from recruiting, different from coaching your dudes in non-conference, different from coaching your dudes to 20 Big Ten games. It is a different grind where you got to prepare for an opponent, you get 48 hours, and you prepare for another opponent, right? And whether or not it's a fair knock on him, absolutely he struggled. But to even make the recommendation that that's not a good thing to do because he has struggled to win in the tournament, for me, is just a pretty silly high horse to be riding on.
Yeah, exactly.
And it's like a small sample size. And there are just so many things that, like, we need a few more years to really even say he's not a good tournament coach or whatever. Like, yeah, he hasn't had great success. That's why it wasn't a massive extension. It was a fairly small extension because they've also kind of done it three times now. And honestly, he's been deserving each time. 2020, it was okay. He finally brought us back to the tournament, even though it gets canceled, and kind of rebirthed this program. 2021, it's okay. This is a national powerhouse. We're a number one seed. And then this year, you like reward him for winning a Big Ten title. Like, all of them have been deserved. And once you see that deep run, that's where it's like, you're talking lifetime extension, like huge things. But it's interesting too, because at a certain point, you're kind of negotiating against yourself when you announce the extension after the carousel has already happened. But at the same time, you want to do right by Brad, and you want to make sure he's happy for the long haul, reward the success that he's had, and just not run into the situation which got you him, which was like Oklahoma State just underpaid him and kind of was like, okay, fine, get a better offer. And he did. So there's really only a few programs in the country who could really steal him away.
And it's not Kansas, right? It's not Kansas right now.
Yeah. And it's not Kansas because they're happy with the guy they stole from us 20 years ago. But I think Whitman did a great job. And I think both of them are understanding the big, big extension is going to come once you go deep in the tournament. And Josh is confident in him. And result after result is showing he's going to be able to do that. Like, the first step is to win your conference. Then you go on and do bigger and better things. And you just, I don't understand how someone could complain that much about extending a coach who just won a Big Ten championship the year after he lost a guy to the NBA draft. Like, you lost a first team All-American and you won a Big Ten championship.
Yeah. My argument with the tournament thing is just like, it's a crapshoot. Like, obviously, you just got to put yourself in situations where you're hopefully playing an easier opponent in the first and second round. Obviously, we've run into situations where we've discussed where it hasn't been the case, but the more shots that you have of it, it's better than not getting into a tournament. So the more shots that you have at it, he will make that deep run. It is partial luck. There could be some coaching aspect to it that we might see later down the road. But from what we can tell is, I mean, he's already won a 3-day tournament on back-to-back-to-back games for the Big Ten tournament. And then he's won the conference for the season. So it's definitely, he's not a bad coach. You don't win those things if you're a bad coach. So they might've thought that the bonus incentive, their other argument was like, he's already getting paid as a bonus to win those championships. So we shouldn't get an extension for those championships. Like, if your argument is that he won a Big Ten championship, no, that's what the bonus is for. Well, you want to keep him, don't you?
You're extending him because he's a good coach and you want him to keep coaching your kids. But yeah, I think the more and more I watch this tournament, from the perspective of a just dejected Illinois fan that had the expectation of winning more games the last two tournaments, the more I convince myself that it's like, it's not a good indicator, a great indicator always of the team that you are, right? Like, to me, the grind of a 20 game regular season says so much more about a 48 hour, you know, two game, you know, tournament in the round of 64 and the round of 32. Do I say that partially to try to soothe the traumatizing feelings of the last 2 years of the tournament? Absolutely, I do. But at the same time, I'm not quite sure how you can compare 20 games against opponents that you know, against teams that you play one, two, even three times a year, to just an ass-backwards crazy tournament that just favors chaos and favors entertainment. So,
yeah. And I mean, so many coaches were chokers until they weren't. Jay Wright was, Tony Bennett was, like, all these guys go through struggles in the tournament. Scott Drew. So hopefully those better days are coming. Although I have heard people kind of critique Underwood because in non-conference, we always kind of struggle too. And he typically attributes that to, we got to get better during the season. And then really we kind of pick things up. But it is interesting, like, don't have a great record in bragging rights. We've lost those both home and home games to Arizona. We lost Big Ten ACC Challenge game to Miami in 2020. We lost to Baylor.
We beat Duke. You're forgetting we beat Duke made Coach K cry.
Yes. And
canceled non-con.
But either way, I think we're all on the same boat. Like, you got to stick with your guy. And we're really hopeful that we continue to kind of have that success. And step one to getting back to the tournament is really figuring out the next roster construction. And
speaking of, let's play
Kofi returns.
Yeah. All right, let's play the game. Everyone's favorite game, allocate 200 minutes. No, I'm kidding.
Oh my gosh.
Okay. 40 to BBV.
And we didn't mention one roster turnover, and that's Omar Payne left. Johnny, say your thing about Omar.
Great 4 minutes against Nebraska.
We wouldn't win a Big Ten tournament. We wouldn't win the Big Ten championship without Omar Payne.
Yeah, I mean, that's one of Robert's favorite things is there's a set of Nebraska fans who think that Omar Payne is like the greatest basketball player ever and is better than Kofi and is going to be an All-American. And honestly, those guys are probably clamoring Fred Hoiberg to recruit him. And
those sound like the same kind of Nebraska fans that think that 1990 was like 4 years ago for their football team. Absolutely.
Yes. And the steroids weren't the reason why they were so good.
Sure. Absolutely not.
In Omar Payne's 40 minutes, if you do his like per 40 stats, he has just as many points per 40 minutes. And I think he has a little bit more fouls per 40 minutes. It's pretty crazy. Mm-hmm. I don't know the exact numbers. It's like 9.6 and 9.4.
And
I don't know where.
We knew he was a physical player.
We did know he was a physical player.
Before he got here, we knew what we were signing up for. And the Omar experience was fun. So we certainly wish Omar the best in his remaining eligibility as well.
Go dominate at like a Furman.
Definitely. Yeah, definitely can't blame the guy for transferring. Like, you came thinking likely Kofi was going to be gone, thinking you were a starter, and then you're kind of a backup. So didn't exactly get the run that he wanted. So best of luck to him. Although I'll always remember my first impression of him was the interview that he did with Jeremy Warner. And he's like, yeah, Kofi's in the draft and that kid Georgie's gone, before Georgie had announced anything. And we're like, that kid Georgie, that guy is the man, all right? That kid Georgie.
Wow. Well, he was pretty 0 for 2 on that statement right there. Little did he know that Kofi would hopefully stick around not just one, but two more seasons.
Yeah, I mean, hey, break every record, make a few million dollars along the way, be a three-time All-American, why not?
And then maybe stick around for another year and get your degree, why not? The offseason is young. Are we neglecting to bring up anything else? We talked about Sky, we talked about the recruit, the extension, other potential transfers.
One euphemism that we haven't mentioned yet. We've gone through two already. The third one is the staff can count. So they know it's like their job to make sure there's 13 scholarships on the roster. So as many times as you see Illinois has reached out to X and X, Illinois has reached out to X and X, they know what they're doing and they can count, because counting to 13 is pretty easy.
Yeah, that's, I mean, important. They knew what they were doing with Alfonso Plummer last year. That one ended up turning out to be quite a gem. So hopefully we get another All Big Ten transfer. That'd be really nice.
Johnny, Maddie, quick question. Yes or no? Gut reaction to this question. Do you want Jacob Grandison back?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay.
I think he needs a redemption year after kind of getting the shoulder messed up there. And I think if you're playing portal lottery, and I'm not talking about like one of the top guys, like a Terrence Shannon, but I feel like his, in terms of wins above replacement, he's probably going to be better than like a B tier transfer. He's been in your system. He's old. He can shoot. Like, give me Grandy over someone that we don't know, that is maybe a little bit more unproven, that maybe has a higher ceiling, but you know, is a little bit unproven. And I think Grandison's floor, I will take that in the Big Ten for one more year.
100%. And like, he wasn't playing during a bit of a stumble toward the end of the season. He
right.
clearly wasn't himself against Houston, didn't play against Iowa, didn't play in the Big Ten tournament. And yeah, wasn't really attempting shots during the NCAA tournament. So you get a healthy Grandy back. That's exactly the type of player you want to put around Kofi. You want shooters around him. And that's a 40% shooter in the Big Ten. Like, sign me up for another year of that with his defensive limitations. I'll take his ability to feed the post. Well, like, it just usually it's good to have a 24-year-old kid on a college basketball team.
Wow.
Curbelo aside, Grandison was the best player to feed Kofi in the post.
Yeah, 100%. You need that. And that's
right.
Maybe why
I'm going to do the other one. I'm going to do the other one. Gut reaction. Do you want Austin back?
You know, I think from a scholarship perspective,
it's a great way to put it.
Roots on for the team to win games. I don't think it makes sense after all these years. I want the poor kid to have a damn opportunity to just play in front of 16,000-17,000 fans. He's worked his tailbone off for 3 years. Like, yeah. I want him to have that opportunity, but I don't know at the same time if that best serves the interest of the Illinois men's basketball program from a wins and losses perspective. I should run for office one day.
I was gonna say, you should run for office, or just be like in Brad's ear, or not Brad's ear, but just be in that meeting with Hutch at the end of the year where like, it's better for you to go somewhere. It's not you, it's me.
Yeah, it's not you, it's me. I think we should see other programs. I that's my honest answer, is I'm pulling for the kids so damn hard. If it ends up being in Illinois, of course I'll pull for him, but I just don't know if it makes sense for him to continue his time here.
Yeah, like, you just wish you could see a parallel universe where he doesn't get hurt and to see what he's like, because everyone was talking about him when Iowa was on the team, that Austin Hutcherson is the best athlete on the team. You know, Austin Hutcherson's a 6'6 wing who can shoot threes and is basically like, even though he played D3, is basically like a 4 or 5 star. So really rooting for him. It's unfortunate that he just has, his body hasn't been able to help him out. And the 1 year it was healthy, he had to sit out.
Right.
But at the same time, you're kind of looking for a high floor with, I don't know, some additional transfers, and you just don't know if his body's going to hold up. And he's almost like the opposite of Grandison, where Grandison has a high floor, maybe not quite as high of a ceiling, but like, clearly there's still a ceiling with Hutch, but at the same time, it might be best for everyone to,
sure,
to let him just really like be a starter somewhere, and maybe that's somewhere mid-major or wherever, but we are definitely going to pull for him wherever he goes.
Absolutely. I think Johnny and I responded to that question about as perfectly as you could, answer that. So changes are certainly still abound for the basketball program here, as we're maybe 72 hours into the off season here. And it already feels like just peak off season. Like, we are just already off and running. I'm sure more changes and more news will certainly come to fruition soon. And yeah, we'll do a couple of these episodes here in the off season and into the spring and into the summer. Before we know it, it'll be back to football season, and we'll be counting down the days until basketball season starts again. But until then, thanks for listening, everyone, on this episode of The Boardroom, and we'll catch you on the next one. ILL.